on.
Last night to the sound of the storm. Words I said, I'm a pipe for the red, red world. Last night.
Greetings and welcome to Inside Baseball with Old Chestnut. I'm Liam Allen with my friend one last time this year, Morris Sachs.
Hey, you doing, MB? Let's start over. Play that again.
I should have just finished it.
Did you tell me they ran right into Golden Age after that?
Yeah, back to back. They really stacked you up last night.
Oh, my God. As soon as we get done with this, I'm going in the family room and going full bore.
Dude, they opened the other night with Free, which I opened our Christmas show with, to remind the audience that this show is free. Okay, so for everyone that wasn't paying attention, okay, that's why you got the Free to open the Christmas show. Okay, and then what does Fish do? Fish opens up the show with they hit the cord, and I almost fell off the couch.
Unbelievable. You know, I'm starting to warm up to this couch tour thing.
Starting to warm up.
I mean, well, vis-a-vis the being there to see it live, you know. The cost benefit analysis is just so heavily skewed towards watching it at home.
Yeah, it's a no-brainer.
It's a no-brainer. We haven't have a chance to have any pre-show meeting with the writers, but just to give you something to think about, at the end of the show, I'd like to give you my four nominations for the new platinum subscriber class
of
2024.
Okay,
so
while
we're talking, why don't you think of the people you would like to nominate?
Okay,
we'll nominate them, and then, you know, we'll go to secret committee. Spoiler alert, Bob Cobb, I don't think your name's on the list this year.
I don't know. You don't know. Sometimes, you know, you like a good heel. You know, the WWF, the heel is an important part of the play, okay?
How was your week?
You can't have a hero without a villain, okay? So if Bob Cobb wants to play the villain, I'll sign him up, okay?
All right.
Guy gave me a whole show worth of content last week. The least we could do is give him a few episodes for free. Thank you, Bob. Happy New Year, Bob.
According to executive producer Leslie Harris, we did end it on an uptick, meaning we had a nice rapprochement, and because that's what we're all about here.
Precisely. You know? Yes.
So it was a quiet week, but I don't know. I came away feeling like I had a good week. I don't know. Must be the last signs of dementia setting.
Well, all the Gentiles, none of the Gentiles were in the office. So the Gentiles didn't trade this week. So you guys got a free week.
I mentioned to my wife how much harder it was this year after Christmas to find the young Gentile children to make the matzah. But I digress.
Tell me about your good week. What went on? Tell me about this week. Isn't it quiet, thin volume? Nobody's paying attention.
Yeah. So why did I have a good week? I learned some stuff, and I thought I saw a few things that I thought might be instructive to our audience, which, you know, all kidding aside, I mean, I really, as I know you do, delight when you get messages from people who listen and say, thanks for explaining this or explaining that. And there were a couple of things I thought were fun. And even though, as I've said ad nauseum, I'm bad at math, but I kind of like it. And there were a couple of examples of these things. And they involved some of our favorite targets. But I thought, instead of playing the role of angry old man and talk about how dumb these people are, I would just let the facts speak for themselves. And so, if that's okay with you, may I proceed?
Yeah, dude. Because I started laughing as soon as you said it. I didn't even dawn on me, but she said some things this week that my jaw just dropped, but I had erased them from my week in the holiday week. I had erased them from my memory, but she said some outrageous things this week. I won't get into it. I'm going to let you go. You go ahead.
Okay. Yeah. Well, you know, I'm old. I get confused. But one of my former colleagues, I don't have authority to mention his name, but he sent me an article written by Lauren Foster at barons.com. It's dated 15th December 2023, and it talks about how Cathie Wood's arc is headed for a number one finish for 2024. In any event, the article says something like, a little crypto can do a lot for a portfolio these days. Just ask Cathie Wood. Her ARK Innovation Exchange Fund went from a 40, excuse me, a 67% loss in 2022 to a 66% gain this year, thanks to good part its top holding in Coinbase Global. So that's the article. Again, Lauren Foster. One of our listeners wrote in. I'm going to have to see if I can find this. Basically, just bear with me a second. This former colleague wrote in, to satisfy your dual loves of math and Cathie Wood, I've attached an article which I just read. I'm sure you've seen. Up 66% this year after a loss of 67% last year. Hey, great news. She only needs to make another 85% to recoup last year's loss. That puts her only 206% away from her 2021 high watermark. Sounds like a quote number one finish to me. Now, trust but verify, I haven't checked those numbers, but they are readily available. Again, I'm not saying this in my typical malevolent. I'm trying to don a new persona, going from the kid from the gritty streets of the South Side of Chicago to the more of the guy who grew up in the cornfields of the Midwestern. The other one, and I need a little artistic license with this, but I was chumming around YouTube, and they've kind of copied the TikTok thing a little bit. So they have
Oh,
these,
it's so fucking annoying. Go ahead.
so they had a little clip
A
with
short, a short. Yeah, I don't want to watch shorts, YouTube. Go back to the old format. It's fucking annoying. Sorry. Go ahead.
no. I like when you express your opinions. What this person said, he's a denizen of the Bitcoin industry. He went on to say how 12 or 13 or 8 or 10 years ago, a house in the United States cost X. And 12 or 13 years later, it's doubled. And so, having this background in accounting, they teach you little tricks. And there's this thing called, I think it's called the Rule of 70s. Have you heard of this? It's basically, it's a quick way to calculate how long it takes for your money to double. Forget it. I'm not, like I said, I'm bad with math, but if you want to know how many years does it take for something to double at 10%, you take 10 into 70 and you would say it's 7 years. Okay. So keeping in mind, when possible, we like to do our homework. I went and I sent it to you. I sent an NBER working paper series. It's called The Rate of Return on Everything from 1870 to 2015.
Everything.
So I'll cut to the chase. Over an extended period of time, the rate of return on housing averages around 6%. So over the period of time that this genius, former Goldman Sachs partner, former hedge fund manager who blew up, merely said that the price of housing has grown at the same rate over the last number of years that it's grown over the last 200 years,
Right.
which is why you shouldn't own a house, you should own Bitcoin. So you can draw your own conclusions there, but
Yeah. Amazing.
I had a little bit of a unusual situation. It's an ongoing investigation, so I have to be a little coy. But I went in a couple weeks ago. I paid my American Express bill by check, which, by the way, it will be the last time I do that. Somebody got the envelope out of the mailbox. Okay. They took the check, they endorsed it, and they cashed, they didn't cash it. They electronically deposited it in their account. Yeah, here, look, here, you see? Here, this is it. Okay. And see, here's the back. Okay. So anyway, only me, right? Only me.
Okay, go on.
So I'm like, okay, well, I have developed the opinion that having been through the financial markets for many a year, including passing the CPA, which involves sections on business law, I thought I understood how these things work. And I'm like, okay, well, I'll alert the bank and then they'll fix it. And it's their problem. Okay. Well, apparently, Bank of New York, I think that was the bank started by the founding father, Alexander Hamilton.
Yeah,
If
sounds about right. One of the oldest, yeah, Bank of New York.
they don't seem to understand. In any event, so they paid the fraudster, okay? And I said, hey, wait a minute, where's my money?
Yeah.
You made the mistake. Where's my money? And all of a sudden, I'm like, well, we got to look into it. No, it's not like, oh, we're going to reimburse you while we investigate it. And look, I'll be blunt. I have enough money. Like it doesn't. It's a rounding error.
Right.
But what if you're like a guy that has got like
Yeah.
5 grand in his checking account.
Which is like 80, which according to the statistics is like
It's
80% of everyone.
So basically, where it stands now is they sent me a retired old guy in the sunset of his life
Yeah.
that I am charged with taking an affidavit to American Express that they need to sign and notarize and send back to the bank before they're going to give me my money back. Now, I don't think that's right. I think they're
Yeah,
breaking the laws
the
there.
check is clearly written to American Express.
I showed it to you, right? You
Yeah,
saw.
it's written
I
to
mean,
American Express.
even with my shitty handwriting, it says American Express.
Yeah, clear as day.
And on the back, it does say TD Mobile Deposit,
Dude,
Toronto Dominion. So
it's
now
so.
it's an international conflict. Look out.
And dude, American Express is the gold standard. If this had happened on, if gold standard, dude, American Express is so good about something. If there's, if you, if I got a weird charge, like when I went to Florida, they'll send me an email and be like, hey, did you use your card in Pensacola? Something weird like that. And I was like, yeah, I got gas. They're like, okay, we're just checking because the last time you used it was in New York 8 hours ago. You know, they're. Or if they're fraud, you can call them and say, hey, look, I had a $2,000 charge. It was not me. They say, no problem, Mr. Allen. We'll get that right. We'll take that care of that.
Yeah,
Didn't, like it
exactly.
never happened.
So American Express, knowing that this is a problem, has said, okay, we're going to note that on your bill. But yet, my checking account is short
Yeah, 2 grand.
$2,347.93. So now I can't balance to the penny, right? Because there's an outstanding check.
Makes you nuts.
But keeping in mind, I think I understand how these things work. All of a sudden, I'm like, well, what happens? Let's say you're like me. So this morning, let's say hypothetically, you wake up and you're like, I'm going to look at my statement and see how my 451-913-8H zeros are doing. Or maybe in your case, the 912-82-CJS ones. Okay. What if they're gone? What if they disappeared? And you call up Bank of New York Mellon and say, hey, where are my bonds? And they're like, I don't know. Call the post office, call the police department. Well, my first thinking was, well, SIPC would cover that. But wait a minute. Wait, and I've not done my due diligence completely on this, but SIPC covers your investment when the firm goes bankrupt. I don't know what happens if somebody steals your securities out of your account. My guess is they'll say, fuck you, get a lawyer. And in the meantime, you won't have access to your securities. So let's say your kid's college tuition payment is due. And you know, the way these universities are, you know, you don't pay, you know, your kid can't go. So you see what I'm getting at here? So I guess I'm beginning to wonder whether potentially the largest clearing bank, maybe in the world, the Bank of New York Mellon. Okay, I don't know that it's safe. I'm considering taking my assets out of there and moving them to a more substantial, honorable institution.
Chase. 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 How
Okay.
many Chase ATMs are there in Scottsdale? You got a Chase branch by you?
I, you know,
Chase is a fortress. It's a fortress, okay.
I was thinking maybe the JP Morgan, actually. I mean, I would have thought a bank that's as old as, you know, the
Time itself.
Bank in New York would have honor, integrity. But no, they cut me out to dry. So I don't think, look, you think Jamie Dimon would stand for that for 1 minute?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Dude, I am a Chase. I am a Chase everything. I've been Chase for 20 years. Chase, Chase, Chase. Dude, everything I do is seamless with Chase. Okay. People open accounts and I'm like, why didn't you open it at Chase? What are you doing here? You know? But
I don't know.
you'd be Chase private client. Your bank is across the street from me. I'm at like the fast food line window, you know. But they have a nice outfit. They run a nice shop. Other than I don't want to get you started on the Epstein stuff. But aside from that little stain on their shirt, I mean Jamie Dimon. I mean like I am a I'm a loyal soldier.
Speaking of the Epstein stuff, did you see this little news flash that tomorrow is the day that they
Stock
release
file.
the names?
Yeah, okay. Sure.
You don't think so?
No, what are we gonna get out of that? Please, we haven't gotten anything out of that. I don't even want to talk about it. Next subject, please.
Next subject, please.
Do the year in review before we get before something happens to me or you, okay?
Well, so
Have you
this
stopped?
is.
Are you gonna break my balls? Have you stopped running? Has that come to us? If you stop with that shit, and since you want to talk about touchy subjects,
I don't run anymore. Okay. I have an expedited walk.
I talked to my wife about this, and I said, "How old was your grandmother?" And she goes, "Oh, 96." I goes, "Did she ever exercise a day in her life?" And she goes, "Oh no, actively anti-exercise." I said, "Thank you. Thank you. That's all I needed to know. End of discussion." But my wife wanted to like build on it. She was like, "No, grandma would be like, what is wrong with you? What are you're going to the gym for what? Like, do something around the house, like live your life." 96, dude.
See, it's the genes because my grandfather never exercised and he died at 63. My father never exercised and he died at 40 something. I don't know.
Did they run big though? Those guys ran. Those guys were big Chicago eaters. You know, you're.
They weren't overweight, but they didn't eat healthy diets, and they both smoked, which, as you know, is not a great thing. So,
Not ideal. Yeah. All right.
but when I used to trade, this was my favorite day of the year
Really?
by far. Yeah, because the market's closed, the bonuses are done, the positions are marked, and then you got a fresh start when you came in on Monday, right? You didn't have that little thing hanging over your head,
Yeah.
and so I really enjoyed that period of time. But I think one of the reasons why I feel pretty good about last year is I think, and you can check this out for yourself, but I think we had a pretty good read on the market. I think, I know I did, and I'm pretty sure you did, kind of bought into the Lacy Hunt approach, where the demand was brought forward. And I think we're still in that process, which in general should continue to provide a bias towards lower rates. This is one of these unusual times where you can sort of get into a pretty rigorous debate, because whilst, for our British friends, you would expect rates to decline, we have a lot of expected easings built into the marketplace. So now it becomes a question of, are the forwards right, or are we going to migrate to a higher level over time? I'm not exactly sure. The good news is, we caught a lot of the moves right. I think we caught the muni moves right. I know I didn't specify any particular securities, which is, I'd love to, but as you know, legal prevents us from doing that. The bank preferreds had a very, very good run. I think since we mentioned up, they're up between, 10, 12, 13%, which, oddly enough, is close to that annualized rate of return earned at that primary dealer years ago.
Years ago.
But what I think is left us, it's sort of not a predicament, because there's an easy answer. But we have the two-year note rate at 4.25%. Now, what was the precinct title you about that?
Comfortably nestled at 5%.
Well, that's 75 basis points ago. That, I know people who've made careers on half that. Okay. So now we're at 4.25%, which, I got news for you, I still get warm and fuzzy feelings over 4.25%. The more complicated, and this will come up in our Platinum member town hall meeting later in the week. Is with the bond, the long bond at 403, this becomes a more complicated situation. So this is for our advanced listeners, including our friend, the forklift operator. I'll try and explain it as if he was a forklift operator. But the reason you own a bond at 4% is because you're expecting to get price appreciation as rates decline. Otherwise, you'd probably just pick something shorter, like a two-year note. You'd pick up some yield, you'd take risk out. But if you buy into the Lacy Hunt concept that inflation is waning, economic growth is waning, the long bond will give you greater capital appreciation because of the dollar value of an 01, or as the convexity maven Harley Bassman would call, convexity. You know, to a hammer, everything is a nail, right? So for me, it's a little bit more complicated because we have substantial mark-to-market profits in our long-dated paper. That gets to be a really complicated situation. So I made a outgoing phone call to life coach, an executive producer of today's show, Leslie Harris. And I said, well, you know, I don't know what to do. This is where if I'm horrible at trading, this is really the apex of my ineptitude. What do you do? What do you do when you have a big profit in something? And it gets really complicated because even someone as old and beaten up as I am, you can't help but feel like that profit is ephemeral. Like, I don't want to lose that money that I made, right? But what if it keeps going my way? And so I sought counsel with Dr. Harris. And, you know, first of all, excellent magazines in the waiting room. It's fantastic. It's really fantastic. But he's always on time. So I, you know. But his point was, you know, you got the trade right, and you're being rewarded for being right. You know, basically the reasons for your trade changed. And the answer is a resounding no. I bought into Dr. Hunt's view, and not just that, some other things I picked up along the way. So I'm going to fight that temptation to take profits on this longer dated stuff. And I'm going to take a deep breath and try not to stare at the screens all day. But, you know,
still love it. You still love it.
Well, I love being right. I mean, that, do I love it? It seems to me that one thing I've talked about for a long time that I've gotten absolutely no street cred for, which is typical, is there is a worldwide shortage of high quality, long duration assets. And they've just basically taken one choice off the table, which is commercial real estate. Like, all you hear about is, so now you've got less things that you know. So just so people understand, there's a reason people need to own long securities, pension funds, life insurance, you know, stuff like that. And there's a whole host of needs. And it's not just a bunch of guys speculating. There's real reasons why people need to own this paper. And because of the nature of the investment, let's go back to life insurance, okay? They can't buy risky assets because they're regulated entities to some extent, and they got to pay. Yeah. You know, they got to pay. It's a big deal. So they're not buying, you know, triple C, you know, blah, blah, blah debt. They have to buy within a range. And I don't know what the number is, and it's probably a fairly reasonable number, but it's not unlimited. And the demand, I theorize, far exceeds the supply, which is what we've been seeing, you know, lately, where the trade du jour has been everyone, including the GOAT, expected the yield curve to steepen. And I don't, it's still inverted. I don't know whether it's more or less inverted than when he decided it was gonna, and he did a very savvy thing. He bought a bunch of 2-year notes, obviously a follower of our views, but guys are short that stuff. And I don't see that situation cleaning up anytime soon, except in a circumstance where we get a sharp and sustained spike in inflation. And I don't see where that's, I don't see where that's coming from. I mean, just looking, if I have this right, crude oil, a demand-driven product, traded hands at $71.65 a barrel, close of business December 29th. People thought that was supposed to be at $100 a barrel. Now, if it's at $71 a barrel and you have a war that is nowhere close to being over in the Middle East, I don't know. And again, I'm amongst the things I'm inept at, one of them's trade and energy. But I read just recently, even though Venezuela is, quote, a failed state, apparently they have the world's largest proven reserves of crude oil.
Yeah, dude, they're the fuel pumps of yeah.
Yeah.
Hugo
So
Chavez knew that. Okay.
I'm not saying this is easy to do. Maybe it's impossible to do, but if you got that much cash in the ground, you can figure out a way to make some shit happen,
Well, dude,
right?
well, quietly, like off the record, I think America might have been doing a little bit of that behind the scenes with Venezuela, maybe in like not the most
It
above board ways. Okay,
didn't work out that good.
I think we've meddled. I mean, it might be safe to say, I don't want to cast stones at Britain last week. We do some meddling of ourselves in some places. Okay,
Oh, you mean like tinkering? Some
yeah,
like psychological operations?
exactly.
Well,
Yeah.
I don't know. I guess when you firebomb Tokyo and then you go over and drop not one but two atomic bombs, just to be sure, I think you lose the high moral ground on a lot
Couldn't
of this
agree
stuff.
more.
Yeah, so I'm not gonna have any predictions on the stock market. That thing obviously is taking on a life of its own, but
How about the Nasdaq, dude? I want to say good morning to all my best years since 99, and we know what happened after that, guys. Okay, so all the, those that's my crowd. Okay, those are my people. So all the guys that are like, yeah, you can take your Nasdaq up 54% of the year, but we all know what happened the next year. That those are my people. I am a member of that crowd. So all you guys that want to fly the QQQ flag this morning, enjoy. Okay, but I on behalf of Inside Baseball will urge caution going forward. Okay, when you see Carvana was up 1,000% this year, okay,
1,000%.
1,000%, dude. It's not funny. Stop laughing.
All of a sudden, I'm thinking that 403 long bond's looking pretty fucking attractive.
Yeah.
On a lighter note, seeing as it's a quasi holiday, I had a couple funny, I think funny things happen that if I could share with you. We were talking the other night, and you'll know that a couple of years ago, when I was sort of like scratching around trying to figure out what I was going to do with myself, I took it on as a project to learn about estate planning. And so I jumped into the deep end of the pool and we started redoing all this stuff. And again, maybe it's a comment on my lack of personality, but I found it pretty interesting. But around that time when we were redoing the wills, there was something. It might have been that Eccleston Bernie Eccleston guy. Some wealthy guy got married to a girl much younger, and I don't know what happened. Things were said, and anyway, they came up with this concept of what's called the bimbo clause, and basically it goes into the will so that if an of the marriage, when the first of the couple passes, the money's structured in such a way that if they meet someone that isn't appropriate during a time where the living spouse is mentally compromised, they can't give all the money away to the quote bimbo.
Yeah, got it, got it.
So I don't know if you did this when you were little, but I remember like when my parents would leave the house, like we would go on scavenger hunts,
Oh,
looking through drawers and finding
Something,
shit.
there's something somewhere. Yep.
Right? So this is not unique to me, right?
Oh, God, no. Dude, every
Okay.
inch of the house, as soon as the garage door was shut, I'm going digging. There's something somewhere. Something
Okay,
somewhere.
good, good. I feel so much better about this now. So I don't know. It was a while ago. It was a long while ago, but it was recently after we had redone these wills, and so we had the drafts. We were on Cheryl's desk in her office, and clearly marked draft. That way, you couldn't just sign them and cheat the law out of getting paid, right? So we sit down to dinner, the five of us, and one of the children, who shall remain nameless, was in inordinately bad mood. The thing about at least many women I've met is it generally doesn't take a lot of coaxing to get them to spill the beans on why they're pissed off. So one of the kids gotten into this stack of papers and starts reading the will and sees this thing called the bimbo clause and thinks it's because of her. I'll bet you $50 to this day she still doesn't believe the fact that they're that's a little sex history. The other thing, I did this in a bad order because it won't be as near as funny, but one of the things I learned on the trading floor is you're in a room full of people and you'll be talking on the phone to somebody not in the room. But you get, just like now, you get so involved in the conversation. You forget there are other people around you. So you'll be talking about stuff that's in theory is private, but you are now in that, and anyone that's traded or been a salesman knows exactly what I'm talking about. Okay. So lately, as the Zoom thing has gotten more popular, right? You have conversations and I'll be at the kitchen table and I'll have my iPad. And so I was talking to life coach Leslie Harris, and we were having a very nice conversation, as we always do. And we were talking about like interviews and questions, and he was telling me a great story how he was at some interview and some creep asked him some obnoxious question, like just to be a prick. Because of where Leslie was working, he just happened to know the answer. And anyway, I think he gets up and gets the job or whatever. But his darling wife, Pam, who is a powerhouse in her own right, she got a job working. I'll leave that aside. But apparently, on her resume, she put One of her unique skills was she could do a tomahawk slam dunk on a 5-foot basket. So I'm talking to Leslie, and I said, you know, that story of yours is better than the tomahawk slam dunk. Meanwhile, Pam, who I can't see, is sitting right behind Leslie. Now she hears.
Drops in.
Yeah. So it's a lesson to, Anyway, so, so that's kind of been my week. I don't know. The weather's up and down here. I have a whole lot more time now that I'm not exercising.
Isn't that great? Isn't that nice?
Well, I had my whole day planned out yesterday. I announced my plans with authority. I said, okay, in the afternoon after lunch, I'm going to lie down on the couch and I'm going to watch the previous night's fish show from beginning to end.
Nice, yeah.
Okay. So I lie down, and 3 minutes later, Cheryl starts practicing on the piano. So I know better than to tell her to stop for fish, right? I mean, if it were something important, but not, so I'm like, okay. So I walk into my office, shut the door. All of a sudden, she starts playing louder. And keep in mind, now I'm this for the second time, I'm comfortably nestled on a couch. So I walked to the other end of the fucking house.
7 minutes later, there's no way you can hear it over in the east wing.
No, but by the time I get there, I'm so irritated. I just said, fuck it, uncle, uncle. But I know this isn't typical for us, but I do have to really express how incredible the last couple of shows have been. The first night is always they got to get the rust off. But night two, they just fucking shredded it. And last night was another big night, which I'm going to try and delve a little bit more deeply to as soon as we're done here, because normally I go for a bike ride, but now we know that's toxic.
Oh, no. Yeah, dude,
Yeah.
that's Madison Square Garden too. This isn't like, the Beacon Theater or Webster Hall. This is the Garden, and it's not the Garden Theater where a lot of acts do that little half room. This is the main floor, the main venue in the country, and they kick the door in from minute one. And do they play it until the stroke of midnight? They do 3 hours.
Yeah.
Two sets, huge encore. The place is packed. It's such like it's just such a quality feel good story about, dude, it's a band that's been around for 40 years, like 40 years. And I know the people that follow it are a wild cult and there's some weirdos involved. But dude, I've seen people that have been like, this is my 400th show. This is my, like 30th at the Garden. I've been going for decades. This is me with my kids. I saw dads with their daughters. I saw, yeah,
Yeah.
it's the coolest thing. And I said to my wife, I was like, I don't think I need to go anymore. I was like, the fact that I can watch it
Yes,
on TV, I
I
was like,
agree.
there, I was like, imagine you were like I get it. 20 years ago, if I wanted to see him live, like we had to go. You had to go. But Fish has always done the tapes. But the fact that I don't need to get on the train, I don't need to go to the Garden, I don't get on the train home. I sit down at 7:55 in front of the TV with my kid. Like, dude, I would love to bring my kid to the Garden. But dude, you know how the Garden gets so smoked out and it's so
On
grimy.
the hearing, they have to wear
Exactly. It's not fun for her. Dude,
No, I get
first
it.
set, she gets her song. She goes to sleep at the end of the first set.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude, there's just so good. And dude, let me say this. You brought up Cheryl. She's a musician. She plays the piano. Dude, Paige is a talented pianist, okay?
Yeah,
She's
don't tell
got.
that to Cheryl. Cheryl hates this band with a vengeance.
It's
It's
just incredible, dude. They play that song Squirming Coil, and they've got that beautiful 2-minute piano
Oh,
solo. And I know you love that song. And I'm
yeah.
like, How does Cheryl not like this song? I'm like, how, like,
You're married, you know. How does she not like it? Because I like it.
it's so funny.
It's okay. But that's the thing that you just want to hug these guys. You know, they walk out on stage and they look, and it's like
Soccer dads.
they look behind them. It's like, you're here to see me. It's like you hear interviews with these guys, and it's like, no, you don't understand.
I know.
You're as big a part of this as we are.
Yeah.
If you weren't here, you could be up here and we would be down there.
Yeah.
And Trey was, I saw an interview with him, and you know, I've made this comment to people and gotten some pushback when I've said there's only one place to see him, and that's the Garden. And people have disagreed with me. But in this interview, Trey said, you know, the Garden is like home. He said, I know exactly how a note is going to sound to someone in section 300. And they do that with now the benefit of being at home is you get the audio from the soundboard instead of being in the garden, which I think EG would tell you is acoustically a garbage. And they got the 4K. Pro tip, by the way, I was a little, and I don't know if I got this exactly right, but I'm a multimedia guy. So I have a 4K TV and I have multiple iPads. But if you get the 4K fish video, okay, it won't play on your iPad because it's not set up for 4K on the iPad. So I am been doing the 2K video just because I can't, you know, things are a little tough. I can't get two different types of downloads of the same concerts. But you know, if I had one day left to live, I would definitely pay twice. But you know, I think I'll be here for a little while longer. So
So we're gonna do, are we gonna do a fourth year of this show? This is now the, this is, this concludes year three. This brings our, this is now the end of our junior year. We're gonna enter our senior year, year four. We're really upperclassmen now.
like you know, it's really not up to us. I mean, our contract's up as of midnight tonight.
Exactly. That's my question.
I don't know. Well, let's chew on that. But have you given some thought to who you'd like to nominate for the platinum subscriber?
Red on the day, like it's a no-brainer. Red on, done.
That's the number one, actually the number one name on the list was Leslie Harris, but Red on the Day for sure.
Yes. Yeah. Home run. Yes. Consensus.
Who else you got? I have a few. I know there's many guys you like to I don't want to
Go ahead.
shortchange
Let me give me
you.
yours, and then maybe that'll spark me.
Well, you Red on the Day, Leslie Harris, Anthony Peters,
Oh yeah.
and then I would say the blind squirrel.
Oh yeah, of course. Absolutely. Absolutely. Blind squirrel for sure.
You know, the reason we can't invite the Market Huddle as much as we would like to and give them full acknowledgement that they were really much the genesis of this epic production, but he has a newsletter and he charges a newsletter, and we're all about, you know, freedom of information and so anyway, those are my suggestions.
No, the only person I can think of is the is there's one of the there's a guy that I have that you're somewhat familiar with that I have a man crush on, but he doesn't need a platinum subscription for us. He
Okay,
listens quietly, you know. So yeah.
Okay. Well, we're good.
I like
We're
Bob
good.
Cobb though. I want to give Bob Cobb his credit. You know, dude, Bob Cobb has provided engagement, okay? And
Yeah.
again, I don't think he disparaged you. I think he did it delicately. And I know I see the dirty look and the scowl on your face. And I know that this ate up a week, a whole week of your time to the point where you were discussing NDAs with Cheryl because you're a lunatic, okay? An internet comment drove you. to the brink of insanity.
Well, I'd like to explain that just for a
I
moment, if
know.
I may. So, I got this whole bug up my ass about, the Ivy League. Like, I didn't go to an Ivy League school, and everyone's supposed to be a genius goes to Ivy League school. So, I got to get over that, which, by the way, the woman who's president of Harvard is really easing my burden there.
Thank you. Okay.
By the way, you couldn't find, if you want a black woman to be president of Harvard, okay, perfectly fine. You couldn't find one that doesn't cheat. I mean, isn't there anyone that could fill that role that isn't a plagiarist? Not one? Not one?
Condoleezza Rice. I wonder why Condoleezza Rice didn't want it. I hate to say that, but I know that she's the, she to you is the gold standard. Didn't you meet her
Oh,
and she was awesome?
I met her at a cocktail party. I don't
Okay.
want to oversell,
Okay.
but
So
no,
what? But you spoke.
she's great. I
Okay.
mean, she did the whole thing. Help me, I lost my train of thought again. I got all worked up over
You were.
my returns. Okay. So this is the thing that for various reasons, when we were at Greenwich, they made a point of us, the big producers, staying out of the public domain. Okay. And so when things didn't work out over at Bobo's place, and E.G. and Robbie and I had to go out, with our cane and tin cup and try and raise money, I thought they were going to throw money at us because, after all, I, had been doing this for so long, and nobody had ever heard of us. And the big point was we had worked for Bobo, like, oh, and the
Imagine that.
reason,
Imagine that.
and I don't know if, so we had set out to start this fund, which, by the way, came and went, was successful without question. Okay. But we took like 50 meetings with these fund to fund fucking idiots.
Yeah, I
Okay.
remember these. Yeah.
Dumb as the day is long.
Yeah.
And we had put up a bunch of money to get the thing going. We said, look, we're gonna give it a try. And when we run out of money, we run out of money and we're gonna go our separate ways. Okay. So literally the last meeting, okay, is with this group in Switzerland. And so we fly to Geneva, and the instructions are you get on this train, and at the end of the line, if the train will stop, get off, and you'll be surrounded by fields with like cows. And I'm like, oh, this is just great. So we get on the train, we go there. And we get there like an hour early. And this is one thing I thought was particularly neat. We got an hour to kill and we're hungry. So we go sit down in a local place. And I had some veal or something. And I finished. And the waitress says, did you like it? And I said, yeah, it was great. She goes, would you like some more? I said, what? She goes, would you like another portion? I said, well, I didn't. Like, I don't understand. Do
It's your
you
question. What are you getting
do I buy? She says, no, we just thought we'll get you some more. So I said, this is fucking great. Like, this is new. Like, I'm on Mars, right? Like, oh, you like it? Would you like some more? Like, what is there, poison?
Right, yeah.
So anyway, we finish it up and we're like three schmoes walking with our suitcases, dragging our suitcases behind us. And we have a final meeting with a bunch of Swiss guys. And these guys were actually solid guys. And it turns out the head guy remembered E.G. from skiing in Europe when they used to compete. And then the second guy remembered me because I used to do these big Swiss asset swap trades. And so we had this incredible bonding moment. And they seeded us with like 50 million bucks or whatever it was, and we were off and running. But it was really the last, it was literally the last stop on the
Stop on the last train,
train
dude.
line. Yeah. So when someone starts to talk about, well, you didn't earn that money, it's not just trade puffery for me. It's like, you and I have known each other a long time, but not really when I was engaged in the markets, right? So you could ask my kids or my wife to see the level of effort and intensity that went into every day to try and be a great trader. And then I think I achieved that. In fact, I know I achieved it, but I guess it's a sign of immaturity on my part that when someone says, "Yeah, it's not possible," like, okay, fuck you.
Somebody asked me about something, and I was like, dude, they went out of their way to keep those things quiet. Like you would never get that answer. Like they would never be on TV, or it was done with shroud. Like there was people going through their dumpsters. So like this.
Literally going through the garbage. I to sort of full circle it, the example I like to point to was there was one night when I was at Greenwich and the cash brokers had one of their soirees. So we were out on a boat in Manhattan. And it wasn't, like the midgets with bowls of cocaine on their head or anything like that. It was, drinks and hors d'oeuvres, right? But there were two kids, I don't know, probably mid-30s, from JP Morgan on the boat. And they were bragging on how they had come up with this trade where they had taken these really high coupon bonds, 10, 11, 12%. Okay. At that point, rates had come all the way down to, let's say, five. And they had created a synthetic bond by taking the high coupons and matching them up with strips of low or zero coupon bonds and created a synthetic 10-year note. And against that synthetic 10-year note, we would short a real 10-year note at a positive yield pickup to us, and we would wait for it to converge or just earn the positive yield pickup. Okay. And I mention that not because of how smart we were. It was because I listened to two chuckleheads give away a trade that I'm sure we personally took home millions of dollars. Because these two guys couldn't keep their fucking mouth shut. And you know what? We did so much of this thing, I'm sure it came out of their pocket because there weren't that many of those bonds floating around. And so when you come back to cost benefit, okay, yeah, my feelings got hurt because Bob doesn't think we earn that kind of money. But on the other hand, we earn that kind of money, So one more example, somebody, a friend of the show, apparently there's been a whole hubbub about basis trading. A friend of the show called me up and said, "I don't know, like, could you explain this to me?" And now this is a smart guy, okay? And within 3 minutes, respectfully, I realized he doesn't have a fucking clue on how this trade works. Yet he's a wonderful guy, wildly successful. Okay. And you realize that, there's nuances in these things that if you just keep your fucking mouth shut, okay, you're going to get to earn that and you're not going to get to give it away for free. I've had two or three listeners send me things that they found anomalies in the market. And they said, could you look at this? And And I said, well, a couple of things. One is I will look at it, but I promise you, I will not act on it and I will not tell anyone because you showed me the respect of, but I'm intellectually stimulated. And so these are things which I could tell you right now, they are still there today, and this person's making money on them. And they never occurred to me. I've never seen them written in anywhere else. Yet here's a smart person that figured something out. He was kind enough to trust and believe in us. And I went through the math and I said, yeah, I think you're right. You know, but so anyway, short story long, Happy New Year. It's been great. How are we doing time-wise?
You nailed it, dude. It's an hour and 10 minutes. You've got that
Hour
internal,
10?
yeah. You got that internal clock that's just spot on, bro.
Unbelievable. I've really, really, really enjoyed doing this with you. I hope we get to do it for many, many years to come. It's really one of the bright spots for me. And you know as well as I do, we've gotten some wonderful emails from
Surreal
people.
stuff.
And
Surreal stuff. Yeah.
yeah, it's great. So
All right, bro. It's
you
been
take
just surreal that it's been, this is 3 years. All right, so 3 years, those, you know, think about all the stuff that we went through, like crypto, you know, it's just amazing. That, yeah, it's just the arc has been fantastic. And it's just been the everyone that emails me at Inside Baseball Cast, thank you. I don't want to pull it up and go name by name, but there's so many good guys like Ara, and all those guys that send stuff. Like, we love it. Morris loves it, and like Red on the Day on Twitter, the guys are great. But yeah, talking to you, dude, your words haunt me. It's a blessing and a curse, like I said, because my poor daughter's trying to climb in bed, and I've got you on my. On my
Oh,
shoulder, no kids in the bed. Never make her sleep on the floor. You got me in a tight spot at 3 a.m.
what you do on your own time's your business.
Okay, goodbye. Thank you.
Have a happy new year.
Happy New Year. Thank you. Goodbye, Inside Baseball family. Okay, goodbye.